You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Beverly Pryor, Principal of Pryor Architects in San Francisco, about design issues in corrections. Beverly Pryor is president of Beverly Pryor Architects, a 25-person firm in San Francisco with a special focus on justice facilities. The firm was named one of the top 100 women-owned businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area, and Beverly was honored as San Francisco's Small Business Owner of the Year in 2001. In her 24 years of professional practice, Beverly has planned and designed law enforcement, adult and juvenile detention, prison, and courthouse facilities. Her firm is currently designing the $135 million design-build Alameda County Juvenile Justice Center with HOK. She is currently an advisory group member of the American Institute of Architects National Committee on Architecture for Justice, and she is its future chair. She's also made several presentations at national conferences, including a recent conference, the American Correctional Association Conference in Chicago, where she presented on design guidelines for detention facilities. And she recently served as a jury chair for the AIA's 2004-2005 Justice Facilities Review. So well qualified to talk with us today. And she will be talking about trends in correction design. So welcome to today's live talk, Beverly Pryor.
Thank you, Michelle.
Well, we're very happy to have you today. I wanted to start with some sort of basic direct questions about corrections design and what makes good corrections design. Could you talk a little bit about what some of the elements of good corrections design might be?
Okay. Well, number one, you have to start with the basics. It's got to be operationally sound. That means that you've got good staff efficiency, that there's a logic in the design in terms of, are you bringing services to the inmates or prisoners, or are you moving inmates and prisoners to the services? So that type of philosophy needs to have a consistency in order to have a well-functioning facility. Second, another part of the basics is you've really got to make sure you have a safe and secure facility. And when we say safe, it's not just for the public or visitors, but it's also safe for the inmates and the staff. And the same with security, in terms of its security within the facility as well as security within the community. Beyond that, then there are a lot of really great nice-to-haves, such as, maybe I shouldn't even call them nice-to-haves, because to me they are essential. Uh-huh. One is that you have great acoustics, because the environments are often so hard, that can really add to people's stress level. Bringing natural light into a facility goes a long way. There have been a lot of studies on how that can release tension, to have actual natural daylight and know what's going on outside. I could go on, but those are some of the keys.
Excellent, excellent. Well, those are good sort of key elements, I think, to start with. Now we've got some of those key elements down. Are you seeing in corrections and justice design any sort of trends that folks in the field are starting to incorporate into their justice facilities, or particular innovations that you might want to note are positive?
Well, I think one of them is definitely natural light. It's the type of thing where in a housing unit, when you're stringing a number of cells around a day room, adding additional perimeter to let light in, or bringing in skylights or clear story windows that allow light to come in from above, sometimes those seem like nice-to-haves, but
right.
I think there's a lot of recognition of the value of natural light. And I will add here that oftentimes people think about the inmates as the residents of the detention facilities, and yes, indeed they are, but who really lives in a detention facility day after day, month after month, year after year? The longest is often the staff, and so you need to create an environment that's workable for the staff as well. Another trend, and I think we're just on the precipice of starting to get into this, is green design, and we don't mean painting walls green here. We mean sustainable design. And there's a lot of development along conscientious, when I say sustainable, it's like, you know, having, reducing the energy impacts and reducing the amount of materials or the way materials are used that are not effective. But that type of thing is really moving not only in the non-justice world, but it's starting to move into the corrections and detention projects also.
Oh, that's good to know. And you make a really good point, I would think, about the natural light. I mean, just thinking about those of us working in office buildings and how coveted, you know, windows are, you know, for your office, that sort of thing. It really...
Well, they find in the office environments where they've studied it, they find that absentee rates go down. You know, people are healthier, more productive in environments where they've got natural light.
Can you talk about, and I mentioned earlier, you were the chair of the, or jury chair for the Justice Review this year for AIA, and I was wondering if you could talk about what types of submissions you saw this year, and did those have any of those innovations or trends you were just mentioning?
Yes, I can talk about that. We received a total of 43 projects. Actually, we received 57 projects, and we published 43.
Okay.
And between detention, corrections, and juvenile detention, and so I said the first was adult, juvenile, and corrections, there were only 10 projects that we published.
Okay.
And usually the proportion has been much larger. So I think one of the things that we saw is that maybe there isn't as much money right now around the country going into these kinds of environments as much as there are into law enforcement and courthouse facilities. We also, we noticed some very positive trends. We feel that direct supervision should be the basic bottom line go-no-go for corrections projects, and we saw the majority of the projects had direct supervision, so that seems to be really integrated into basic design. It's not striking or new anymore.
Yeah.
It was interesting, one of our jurors, we have both architects and professionals in the field, was Peter Parencello, who is the current president of the American Jail Association. And he was actually disappointed by a lot of what he saw. He didn't see there being a lot of pushing into innovation. Some of the concerns we had in the projects we saw, such as in juvenile detention facilities, is if they were starting to look more like adult facilities and have that kind of lock-em-up feeling about them.
Interesting.
But again, we were happy to see daylight into the facilities.
Interesting.
I think one other thing on the federal corrections projects, it was a little disheartening to see some of the kind of that cookie-cutter type of design that has in some inherent problems in it, and that they're not moving toward addressing those.
So would you, is it hard to sort of typify them, but would you say they're sort of better than usual or worse than usual? It sounds like there was a little bit of disappointment in some of the designs coming out.
Yeah, I think in general there was some disappointment around the whole detention corrections. It's interesting, though, because the projects that you would see published are the better ones, and we rejected, we're not publishing the ones that we thought were the most disappointing, where they were just bare-bones, minimum, lock-em-up types of facilities.
Well, if you're just joining us, we are talking to Beverly Pryor of Pryor Architects about corrections design. And Beverly, I wanted to get back to the topic we were just talking about, but the designs that were submitted, would you say that maybe today's economy has something to do with why things are the way they are, or is it more a philosophical difference?
That's a really good question. And I was just at the, as you mentioned, the American Correctional Association summer conference, and was talking with people about that. And there was this kind of feeling that the economy is affecting projects, that they're becoming very budget-driven, and there are fewer projects being funded right now. So that, I think, is a driver by the economy.
you know, it probably got to have something to do with the materials chosen, the size of things, and that sort of thing. You know, you would hope that maybe there's a way to still get good design in a project that isn't super expensive. I don't know.
Well, one of the things I like to remind people is the difference between your first cost, which is your construction design and construction cost, versus your ongoing operations cost over a 30-year period. And some people have studied this for different types of facilities, and they found that only 2% of your 30-year total cost for a project is your construction cost, design cost. And that's, in a way, from my perspective, maybe biased because I am a designer, that's where you have huge leverage in making a great facility that is going to really operate well over 30-plus years.
Yeah, and stand the test of time. And
yes.
Are you able to say that corrections design might be headed in a particular direction? Would that be based on what you saw in the review or from your conversations with folks this year? Do you have a sense?
Yeah. One of the things that we ask the submitters to with their what they submit is to also comment on any trends that they're noticing. And so we do, you know, have kind of heard from around the country of what people are seeing. You know, one of the things that we're seeing are more females in the system, and how are they going to be addressed. Another issue around the country is the aging population and, you know, the medical issues that happen for people as they are in the institutions longer, and how is that dealt with. Technology is also, advances in technology, especially with video types of setups such as telemedicine, video arraignment, video visiting. So these are ways that people are using to become more efficient in terms of not having to move inmates as much and still get them their the things that they're deserving by their rights. I kind of also see that there are two directions that are going, and I mentioned, you know, the bare bones, large, centralized, very hard facilities, you know, juvenile facilities that look like they're adult facilities. But there's also, to a certain extent, a counter trend of this recognition that smaller facilities that are more community-specific, that integrate treatment and rehabilitation, that have a less institutional focus to them, actually, we're seeing a number of those also, which I think is a good trend.
Yeah. I wonder if tied into that is there's quite a bit of focus recently sort of in the corrections field on reentry, and I'm wondering if that connection between sort of the correctional facility and then the community outside and trying to help offenders rehabilitate as they leave or continue to rehabilitate might have something to do with that, do you think?
I absolutely think so. I mean, I think people think that when somebody is goes to prison and they have a long term, that they're out of our life.
Right.
But, you know, with paroles coming up much sooner than the extent of their sentence, these people are back out in society alongside us, and that's where education programs and the treatment programs and all that can just go so far to having people be able to enter society to be productive and like that.
Right, right. And so my final question for today was just about how corrections practitioners and folks who are jurisdictions are looking into building new facilities, what kind of resources are out there for them where they could, you know, find out what is sort of considered to be good design and maybe get some assistance in that regard.
Right. There are a lot of really great resources out there. Some of them are the professional organizations like the American Correctional Association and the American Jail Association, which develop publications. ACA has standards that they've developed, and there's a part of what I was speaking about in Chicago at the ACA conference was this new planning and design guide for secure adult and juvenile facilities. So it a lot of those topics can be covered there. There's also, the architects have an organization, the ones that focus on justice design, called the Committee on Architecture for Justice. Mm-hmm. And we put on an annual conference that this next one is going to be in October in Chicago. It's called the 5th International Justice Design Conference, and we're going to have a track that's corrections and detention oriented, and we'll be talking about kind of technology and practice and design issues. So those are great sources.
Wonderful.
And then I just want to add one other, which is the Justice Facilities Review developed by the American Institute of Architects, mm-hmm. which is this one that I helped jury.
Right.
It just really shows you what's happening around the country.
Those are great ideas. Wonderful. Well, that concludes today's live talk, and thank you again to Beverly Pryor of Pryor Architects for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
We're very happy to have you, and thanks to our audience for tuning in to learn more about corrections design. Be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You're listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.